Welcome to the Dürr conference call. Ralf Dieter, CEO, and Carlo Cosetto, CFO of Dürr AG, will present the Dürr Group's figures for the first half of 2017, followed by a Q&A session. I will now hand over to Mr. Dieter, CEO of Dürr AG.
Yeah, thank you very much, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome, everybody. It is our pleasure to present to you Dürr's figures for the first half of 2017. And for the second time, I'm joined by my colleague Carlo Cosetto, and as you know, he has been our new CFO since March 1st. First, I will start by summarizing the key highlights on page 3. Incoming orders surpassed last year's top level by 4% in the first half 17. Adjusted for the sale of EcoClean, incoming orders rose by 9%. Sales increased by 3% in the first half. Adjusted sales rose by 5%. EBIT and earnings after tax rose sharply due to the operating improvements and the book gain from the EcoClean sale. Let's turn to page 4. Incoming orders exceeded the 2 billion euro mark considerably. The book-to-bill ratio came to 1.2 in the first half. The resulting order backlog is ensuring high capacity utilization in 2017 and in the first half of 2018. Order backlog increased by 44 million euros, although the orders on hand of Dürr EcoClean of 136 million euros were deconsolidated at the end of the first quarter. Currency translation had no effects on sales, incoming orders or earnings. On page 5, you can see that the incoming orders in Asia were encouraging and made up for the decline and the expected decline in North America. In China, we increased incoming orders by 51%. This was underpinned by automotive and woodworking machinery business. Roughly 20% of our order income was derived from China. We achieved this 20% level in both automotive and in woodworking machinery business. Europe displayed growing business as well, and the proportion of orders generated in the emerging markets reached the 55% mark. Carlo Cosetto will now take you through our financials.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon or good morning to those of you who are based in America. Let's turn now to page 6. In the first half, we achieved an EBIT margin of 8.2% compared to 7% of last year. This EBIT includes extraordinary effects of 14.9 million euros, which comprises the book gain of 22.7 million euros from the EcoClean sale, minus 3.4 million euros in extraordinary costs for the discontinuation of Dürr TEMEA's business, and minus 4.4 million euros for the hallmark purchase price allocation. In the first half of 2016, we had a negative extraordinary effect of only minus 0.5 million euros. EBIT, before extraordinary effects, came in at 129 million euros, which is an increase of 8% compared to the first half of 2016. This resulted in an operating EBIT margin of 7.4% versus 7.0% in the previous year. This improvement comes predominantly from economies of scale in our machinery business. In the second quarter, we reached an unchanged operating EBIT margin of 7.2% despite a sales decline of 3 percentage points. Tax expense was a very low level in the first half of the year, as the book gain from EcoClean was largely tax-free. Let me continue on page 7. Operating cash flow came at minus 41 million euros in the first half, which is an improvement of 44 million euros compared to last year. This reflected an expected 132 million euros increase in net working capital compared with the end of 2016. Among other things, this was due to the normalization of the previous above average level of net prepayments. We do not expect to see any further increase in net working capital through to the end of the year. The free cash flow stood at minus 86 million euros, while the change in net financial status was positively influenced by cash proceeds of 108 million euros from the sale of EcoClean in March. We assume that the cash flow and the net financial status will improve significantly in the second half of this year of 2017. The overview of our working process on page 8 shows that the payment balance with our customers has normalized by 112 million euros compared to the end of 2016 and now stands at minus 91 million euros. We consider a figure of around minus 100 million euros to constitute a normal level, so we do not expect a further cash outflow in the second half of the year. Going to page 9, our equity climbed by 17% compared to the middle of 2016, reaching 833 million euros. The total equity amount remained largely unchanged compared with the end of 2015, as the positive effects from the high earnings after tax were neutralized by two factors. One, the increase in dividend payments and translation-induced exchange rate losses. We expect a further equity improvement in the course of 2017. Our total cash, including other liquid assets, currently stands at around 740 million euros compared to 565 million euros 1 year ago. Our return on capital employed exceeded the 35% mark in the first half of the year and should stay at or above this level for the whole of 2017. I will now hand back to Ralph Dieter, who will highlight the performance of the division and summarize our outlook.
Thanks, Carlo, and let's move on to page 10. Order intake at Paint and Final Assembly Systems was strong in the second quarter with a plus of 11%. Our project pipeline remains steady, but margins are somewhat under pressure due to the aggressive behavior of our German competitor. In China, we were able to double our order intake in the first half from a very low level. We anticipate a steady order intake there in the second half of 2017, after the digestion period we saw in 2016. Going forward, Paint and Final Assembly Systems expect generally stable demand in 2017. Sales revenues declined temporarily by 6% as a consequence of customer-induced delays in project execution in the first half of this year. We expect a catch-up in sales in the second half. The decrease in earnings in the first half was mainly due to lower sales. We are convinced of being able to reach our margin goal of 6 to 6.5% in 2017. Page 11 shows that Application Technologies order intake increased very nicely, especially in the second quarter. While greenfield projects and modernization business were steady, service business expanded strongly. Sales increased by 9% and book-to-bill stood at 1.1. Operating EBIT increased by 7% and the operating EBIT margin remained above 10%. First quarter 2016 EBIT was influenced by an asset sale in North America with a book gain of 5 million, for information. On page 12, you can see that the order intake in the first half of this year at Measuring and Process Systems was 23% below last year's very high level. The main reason for this was the deconsolidation of EcoClean at the end of the first quarter. And in the second quarter 2016, EcoClean recorded incoming orders of 56 million euros and sales of 44 million euros and an EBIT of 2.3 million euros. Sales declined by 9% in the first 6 months of 2017. Adjusted for EcoClean, sales revenues increased by 6%. The book-to-bill ratio stood at 1.1. The EBIT margin increased sharply by 1.7 percentage points to 11.6, as EcoClean's low-margin business has been sold and the remaining business is performing well. In the second quarter, the EBIT margin reached 13.5%. The EcoClean book gain was recognized at the corporate center level and not in this division. Page 13 shows the results for cleaning technology systems. Order intake and sales rose dynamically in the first half, driven by growth in our environmental technology business. Order intake exceeded sales by 10%, so we expect further growth in the second half. The earnings situation was disappointing again due to the poor demand for energy-efficient products and due to higher R&D costs. As we announced earlier, we are currently streamlining the energy efficiency business. We closed the business activities of Dürr-Thermea in the second quarter. Thermea recorded sales of 1 million euros and losses of 1.3 million euros in the first half. Extraordinary costs of 3.4 million euros were booked at the corporate center level for this measure. Some additional costs can be expected due to the restructuring of the energy efficiency technology during the course of the year. Ladies and gentlemen, let me continue on page 14 with an overview of the HOMAG Group, which forms the Woodworking Machinery and Systems Division. HOMAG continued on a strong upward trend in the first half. Order intake rose by 33% and sales by 13%. Orders on hand exceeded 540 million euros at quarter end, which is an increase of more than 50% compared to 30th of June 2016. EBIT increased by 55% to €43 million and considerably outpaced sales growth. The earnings growth is fully comparable. Adjusted for PPA effects, the operating EBIT margin rose to 7.9% in the first half, up from 6.1% last year. The reported EBIT margin stood at 7.1% compared to 5.1% in the first half of last year. In the coming quarters, PPA expenses will stay at around €2 million per quarter. Let's move to page 15. As you know, our service business is a key driver of both customer satisfaction and value creation. Service sales grew by 1% in the first half on an adjusted basis, coming to €452 million and accounting for 26% of consolidated sales. Margins are unchanged in service business at a high level. We confirm our midterm target of 30% of total sales, and we expect the positive trend in our service business to remain steady. PwC's market experts published their latest forecast for light vehicle production in July, shown on page 16. PwC has hardly changed its market expectations and projects global production growth of 4% in the next few years. Worldwide growth is slowing somewhat after US and Europe performed very well in the recent years. China should grow by around 5%, and 34 million light vehicles should be built in China in 2021, which is a plus of 7 million units compared to last year. The countries and regions with the biggest growth potential are India, Southeast Asia, Iran, and Russia. Let's turn to page 17. On the strength of the good first half, we are reconfirming our guidance. We want to make up for the gap left by the sales of EcoGlean and repeat the order intake and sales volume of 2016. We are confident that we can achieve our EBIT margin target of 7.5 to 8.25% for this year. Ladies and gentlemen, before taking your questions, I would like to draw, as always, a short conclusion. We had a good first half in 2017 with strong order intake and decent sales growth. Net profit increased by 28%. The operating margin was up by 0.4 percentage points to 7.4%. Our cash flow was above last year level and is expected to improve in the second half of this year. We confirm our guidance for 2017 and see the upper end of our guidance ranges as being realistic now. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your attention so far. We are now happy to answer your questions, and I hand over to Mrs. Heinrich.
Thank you. Dear ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once the name has been announced, you can ask your question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Jack O'Brien, Goldman Sachs. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just a couple of questions on the auto side, if I may. Firstly, just interested to understand the order quality of your backlog. Obviously, you've talked about a bit of pricing pressure in the paint shop business, so would like to know, you know, looking out from here, how what the margins are like in your backlog relative to, say, this time 12 months ago. And the second question was just on, you also mentioned briefly on some postponement of orders and confidence that those sort of return in the second half. But are you seeing any evidence that auto OEMs are perhaps becoming a little more hesitant about how they invest CapEx? And I suppose the reason for my question is you've seen, you know, some actions from maybe the French and UK governments, also announcements from companies like Volvo, talking about, you know, banning of internal combustion vehicles and so on. And I'm just wondering whether that's leading to any sort of apathy in terms of how companies invest in the short term.
Okay, Mr. Bryan, thank you for your questions. Starting with the order situation in the pipeline for the second half, we have a very healthy pipeline. In particular, we were also positively surprised by the dynamics which occurred in China in the last 3 months. So we see more projects, definitely more projects than 3 months ago. Your question regarding, so we are very confident to reach our order intake goal. Absolutely. The OEMs, are they more cautious? What we see is that we see two things, basically. First of all, their investment regarding capacity is unbroken because the sales figures support that, and they are continuing to do this. They are more cautious in terms of, let's say, how many features they have spent money for, so they're going more to the point what is really necessary. But this trend is okay for us because that has started already 2 years ago. Doesn't affect our margin because at the end it's a question of content. But there's no special trend here. And a customer like Volvo, you know, we don't comment on customers, but I can also say that Volvo also has an investment project in the pipeline this year. So we don't see any effect from the move to electric vehicle here. You had your first question. Sorry, was the backlog order quality? Mm-hmm. Yes, I can say that. What we said already, and maybe others will question again. We have a German competitor, which I already told you last call that he's on the market for considering a potential sale, which has led to behavior because he had empty order books and it's difficult to sell a company with empty order books. So he took some projects on a very low price level, which we didn't want to match. This has an effect because all the customers for sure are discussing those levels, and so we have harder negotiations. And the recent orders in the backlog show that. So we expect next year to materialize, and the maximum hit we see is 1% deterioration. But this is a paint shop PFS statement.
Okay, thank you.
Later.
Thank you. The next question comes from Daniel Klein, MainFirst. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you very much for taking my questions. There are a few, actually. The first one would also be on paint and final assembly. Could you tell us whether the project delays that you're seeing, have they been expected in your initial budget for this year, or is this a negative surprise?
The answer is it was not budgeted, it was not expected. It's basically building delays from the customer side, because the buildings are normally managed by the customer.
Okay. And how high is your conviction that they actually will materialize in the second half and that we do not see further delays of revenue scheduled, say, for Q3 being postponed until next year?
Okay, first of all, we are confident, but I can't promise because it's not in my hand if a customer builds a building. But from our projection today, that we are quite optimistic that we can catch up this gap and hopefully close it, but this will know better in the third quarter. But it looks positive for that.
Okay, so the reasons for the customer delaying the buildings, that has reversed by the meantime from what you're saying in Kronchen.
Sorry, the customer is not delaying the building. It's a construction company which is not delivering on time. So the customer is a victim of that as we are. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do see what you mean. But have these delays been reversed, and in the meantime, are they catching up on their construction, or what you're observing?
I can give you now a half an hour speech how we do that, but normally what happens is a building is late and the customer comes to us and says, how can we compensate? So it's up to us to compensate for the delay. So we start earlier with insulation, even the building is not finished, so we have a lot of measures always to overcome that, and it depends situation by situation is a different way how we approach that. But in generally, we are with the customer trying to catch up. But we can't catch up, let's say, 3 months, then we can catch up 6 weeks out of 3 months.
All right. That's why we have to thank you for that.
My pleasure.
Okay. And maybe then on the EcoClean divestment, the question that I have is, are there any negative synergies from the divestment? And the reason for asking is, if I look at the underlying margin last year, excluding EcoClean, it looks like the second quarter has seen a dilution compared to the margin that you realized last year. So my question really is this an impact of negative synergies, or is it more like the mix impact that saw the margin decline, or is there some seasonality in it? If you could put some color on that, would be highly appreciated.
Yeah, because we are painting, I like to put some color on it. First of all, we had a slight effect, a negative effect with some related to some cost in the average of 1.5 million in total.
Loss, yeah.
Yeah, as a loss in that division out of the basically to take out EcoClean out of our operations. And secondly, we had last year a very strong quarter in terms of earnings from the filling division, which had a special seasonal, special effect out of the change of the cooling liquid, which is now coming to a more normal level, and that's the explanation for the difference.
Okay. Maybe one last question on the reconciliation line. If I look at the underlying EBIT, it seems to be roughly on the same level as last year, and that stood clearly out from the other quarters we saw in last year. So is there a seasonality in the reconciliation line, or is this coincidence that we see this pick up again in the second quarter? That's the first part of the question. The second one is, what would you look for the full year on reconciliation, excluding any special items?
I'm sorry, what do you mean with reconciliation?
I mean in your segment overview, the consolidation line for the segments.
The consolidation of the segment.
Can you tell us the page?
Okay, so first of all, can you repeat your question? Sorry, just a little bit, that because then we can find this information, because I don't have it in my mind.
Mm-hmm. No problem. So I was looking for the full year number that you have penciled in your budget for this line item for the full year.
Yeah.
That is the first part of the question. The second one is whether there's any seasonality, i.e. you're regularly booking now a larger amount in the second quarter, or is this only a coincidence that also in the last year you had this big negative in the second quarter?
Okay. So, give me just a second, please. Okay, sorry that we took the time, because I don't look at this this line normally. There is some kind of... Yeah, there's a misprint on the last year number, or this year number, last year number. We just saw that the number last year was minus 20, but it was actually minus 6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that explains, so there's no special seasonal effect or that we do something always in second quarter. There's nothing like that.
Okay, what do you expect for the full year?
About 10 million, roughly.
All right. Yeah, this is what I was looking for, so it's not the run rate. All right. Thank you very much for your patience.
A plus, huh? Yeah, plus, not minus.
But this is including the one-offs, right?
Yes, exactly.
All right. Thank you.
Pleasure. Good question. Never heard this.
Thank you. The next question comes from Ingo Schachel, Commerzbank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I have three questions. The first one would be on the next steps in the review of the energy efficiency businesses. Of course, most of those assets are pretty small, and I would imagine it's probably rather quickly possible to wind down the other assets as well. So is it a process which you would expect to take a few months, and until year end we have transparency on what's going to stay and what not, or will the others take longer because you might explore trade sale opportunities for some of them? Second one, real quick, on the outlook that you would see for your service business in the U.S. into the third quarter with potentially much lower production rates. I would guess that you expect your service business to decline proportionally to that, or do you see any compensating factors in terms of the pipeline for upgrade projects or modernizations? And the last question would be just on the margin and paint and assembly systems. Of course, you've been sticking to the 6 to 6.5% for quite a few years already and has been right more or less so far. But of course, you're undergoing a quite significant paradigm shift. You're spending much more on R&D. You have a different client base than a few years ago. So I think it would be sort of unusual to see exactly the same margin profile for the business in 2-3 years' time that you saw in the last decade. So just curious how you think about potential paradigm shifts versus margin profile. It's probably too early, but in the next years, do you think you would reconsider the 6.5%, that maybe the new numbers rather 3 or 4% based on much higher R&D spending? How do you think about this just from a midterm structural perspective?
Mr. Schachel, this is a very good question. This is the last one. As I said before, for next year, from an operational point of view, in PF and paint and fine assembly system, out of the backlog and the situation with our competitor explained, which has still not stopped, it's damaging our margins. We expect next year in sales that is 1% less, and we try to also compensate the very increased level of spending for digital Adur, so our Industry 4.0 activities, which we do a lot at the moment. Yeah, and so we try to compensate that, but maybe will not be possible. But overall, that's the situation here. And we will talk later in the year about what we are doing in Digital Edge, because we are working on a lot of initiatives. The next steps for the energy efficiency business, I can say that we had three activities. One now we closed because we didn't see any perspective in the future to make this successful. We have two other left. One is the ORC business, which we see potential, but also here we are looking for partnerships to increase the sales or the selling impact into the market. And the third one is still in an R&D project, which is our microgas turbine, where we spend quite a significant amount. But here we see a good potential for the future, and we want to continue that. We have some milestones by the end of the year for this development, and if that is successful, then we will continue. If not, we will not. But most likely, we will continue. The service business, you're right, the second quarter was a little bit slow, in particular in the paint business because of some delays also there, but the third quarter will pick up again. We already got a very high order intake in the last month, so we are optimistic here to catch up and to be on a growth path again, also in paint and fine assembly system and service business, which we don't show in detail here, but that's the reason why it has a bit below last year.
Can I just ask a quick follow-up on the Digital Edge situation, because just in terms of your thinking on the margin profile, does it in your discussion when you price a project with the customer, is it something which you allocate to a project, or where the customer has full understanding that that's something which has to be passed through to him, or the clients rather say that that's your investment in the future and we're not going to pay for that in the form of higher project installations?
I understand the background of your question. To be honest, we are all learning at the moment, customers and us. We have first initiatives, we have some first projects. You have, that's a statement for the automotive paint side. You have seen that in HOMAG has launched this Tapio platform to their customers, which was a very successful launch. And for sure, customers understand they have to pay something extra if we offer something extra in terms of value. So we are working on proof of concept projects to, for example, we have a maintenance assist on our robots now, which helps the customer to find earlier the cause of a problem or even to find to warn about a future problem. And this has a value, and we are working also with external people here on how we can price that. But definitely customers are willing to pay something for that, and it's up to us. But it's early stage, and don't ask me about business out of that, because you have many people have lost their jobs by telling too early what they do in digital. I think we all have to learn, but I'm optimistic that this will materialize on the middle term, not maybe next year, but in the future, because we have good ideas.
Okay, thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. The next question comes from Christoph Laskawi, Deutsche Bank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, Christoph Laskawi, Deutsche. Thank you for taking my question. Those would be also on paint and final assembly. Just to understand the situation correctly with our competitor that is more aggressive, do you have any visibility on how long he can go on with this pricing pressure to take on orders? Because I guess at a certain point in time, the order backlog should be filled for his capacity and utilization should be sufficiently covered. And after that, prices should be recovering. In the meantime, do you have any hurdle rates to take on business in terms of margins? And if you could give a rough indication in terms of the order backlog, how what's the share of the business that you took on with the lower margin out of the backlog that you have today? And considering that you made a statement that capacity utilization is quite high already for basically H1 18 as well, how much room is there to take on more profitable business in the short term if these projects come up? Thank you.
Thank you. First of all, we are monitoring very carefully about around the world which projects go to whom, and we know which one here our competitor has taken and at the price level which was not sufficient to cover the costs. He has now taken some of those. We think that his capacity is getting quite full now, but I can't guarantee. But we feel that it's maybe slowing down this kind of hunger for just collecting orders. The price level will not recover soon because it will take time to convince our customers that they have to pay more again. We had the same situation many years ago where the same competitor did this, and it took us some time to convince the customer. But this is a slow process, so it goes down fast, but up we have to work hard. But I expect that this is ending maybe in this quarter, hopefully. Hurdle rate, yes, we have a clear strategy that we don't take orders with losses in terms of margin, because that doesn't make sense. But that's basically the hurdle if you want to ask for that. And the percentage of backlog, I said, this I can't tell you, but it's whatever percentage, I would be wrong, but it's some part of it, and I already indicated that has an effect for PFS only next year, about up to 1% max minus in terms of margin, which we try to, by the way, compensate with other measures, but that's what we see at the moment.
Okay, thank you.
Pleasure.
The next question comes from Philippe Laurent, Berenberg. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Philippe Laurent from Berenberg. Just a quick follow-on, actually, on this statement you made that the orders you're taking now, or let's say the quality of your order backlog in PFS, has probably declined by about 100 bips, or is pointing towards a decline of the margin of 100 bips in the next year. I was just wondering if the 100 bips effect that you have, the negative headwind, is that actually a net effect, or is it including as well potential tailwinds from efficiency gains and also reflecting the investments which are probably here on the negative side that you have in the digital strategy? Is it the net effect, or is it a gross effect?
That's a gross effect.
Okay, and is it also fair to assume that in recent years, since you had a very, very good pricing actually coming out of the crisis in PFS, you have been a bit less active, let's say, in chasing efficiency gains, which means you should have some low-hanging fruit?
No, we are working all the time, and we have not stopped working on efficiency gains. We have, for example, in PFS running a program which is called PACE since now 12 months, where we are really looking in every corner to streamline further. I can only say the pricing level has nothing to do at the moment with about competitiveness. It's just political from one competitor, and I can tell you even the customers are surprised, were surprised, and other competitors were very angry as well. So that's the situation we have at the moment to cope with. It will finish, it will end, and then we have to increase the margins again over time.
Yeah, okay. And what kind of efficiency improvement strategy can you put in place? If you had some examples here, that would be helpful.
It's basically the whole execution process of a project, and this is a very complex one. Thousands of people are involved over many months. There are thousands of things you can do, so it's basically how we can lower the number of people, how we can shorten project cycles. We are using a lot of digital tools to improve that. We do a lot of that, so this kind of measures, you know.
Yeah, okay, thank you. And I had another question actually on HOMAG. I have the impression here that everything is running according to plan, and actually with the pace of order bookings that you have, I'm just wondering, you seem to run now at very high capacity utilization rates. Is it fair to assume that the underlying margin could have been even stronger if you hadn't problems of capacity bottlenecks?
HOMAG runs not on plan. HOMAG runs far above our expectations because we announced last year or the year even before that we expect such kind of a performance much later than 2017. We expected that 2019-20. And the increase of order intake was also a very positive surprise. We didn't anticipate that last year. Very strong. It's mainly driven by the fact that the furniture industry is really moving fast towards industrialized production into factories, integrated, and here HOMAG is basically by far leading in the world. Yeah, and in particular China, we had a huge order intake in this kind of project. So utilization is very high. It's even too high because, you know, we are still running our focus program in HOMAG, where we have a lot of measures from standardization of products, process improvement, implementing SAP, and God knows what. So to be honest, we would have loved to have this order intake 1 year later. Then we could have made more of it. So at the moment, we are struggling also with suppliers, so we have to get out the the order backlog to our customers, and that's the biggest issue. It's a nice problem to have, but it's also to be managed.
Yeah. Does it mean that perhaps you are running then the increase in margin is going to take a little bit more time than previously expected, or is it more that you have done even more headroom to surprise actually on HOMAG margin going further?
I think the second statement is the right one of you. And the first one is because we said before 2 years ago, every year 1 percentage point in VAT better. Now we have done this in a much shorter time, and the increase is, I think, 2% to last year. So I think we are very positive about it, very happy. And I think it also shows that when we have done all the homework of focus, which is another 2-3 years minimum to be busy with, that the potential for HOMAG is higher than we stated as far.
And would you go even further and say that probably the HOMAG margin potential beyond 2000, let's say 1920, is probably in the range of 10 to 12%? Is it something you would share with us?
I would not share with you, but I can think of that.
Okay. And perhaps just the last one on HOMAG. Your guidance has not been changed regarding order intake, and that implies now 20% decline year-on-year in H2 versus H2 last year. Just wondering if you're seeing a significant, let's say, momentum loss in H2, or is it just the way you are, which means very conservative and wait and see for Q3?
It has two reasons. First of all, the way we are, as you said, we are conservative, and HOMAG is a very short-term business in terms of our sales cycle. And second, we have to be selective now in the second half because we have, the big problems when you have too many orders, then you have big delays in the delivery to the customer, and then you really spoil customer confidence and trust and satisfaction, and we don't want that. It's already now very difficult to manage that. So we will be selective, but again, the number is conservative maybe.
Okay, thank you very much for answering my questions.
My pleasure.
Thank you. There are currently no further questions. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from Peter Rothacher, Baader Bank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Could you please comment a little bit on application technology and the development? You had very good order intake now in the second quarter. The margin was so far more or less stable. Do you see here potential for improvement for the second half of the year? And please, can you comment on your progress in general applications, general industries? So when will your project together with KUKA start for the new painting technology, painting robots?
Okay, thank you for this question. You're right, we had a good order intake on a stable market basis, and we can anticipate some slight improvements in the second half for sure. General industry, particularly the project you stop is KUKA, we have the sales is starting now. We have already sold a handful of these robots, and the demand is very promising because such a product is not existing in the market. It's basically you buy it and you put it, plug it in, and you can spray. So we call it ready to spray, which is new. And from the overall business size, the industry business, we make good progress with distributors. It's about now 20, 25 million turnover that you have a house number on that, so it's not bad. And so we are quite happy with this. And we also see that this KUKA cooperation for this industry paint robot could be something quite nice.
Okay, thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. The next question comes from Sven Bayer, UBS. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Just one question from my side is on HOMAG. You have an option due in Q1 to buy 7% of the company. Are you likely to consider that also an opportunity to try and buy the whole 22% stake from the family, given that I guess you still have an M&A budget obviously to spend, and HOMAG is something you have done quite well on, so should we assume that you will also try to buy the whole stake? Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your question. I mean, as you know, we have the right to buy the first 7% at €25, and given the current share price, I think it's a no-brainer that we do that. So clearly that is our intention. with regards to the other shares, which are held by the mainly by the Schuler family, they have the right to sell to us at 25 euros. So clearly, that's not a price that they would be very excited to do. We will talk to them as part of the 7% and see if there is an opportunity. But as you know, if we find the right price, we would probably consider more. But ultimately, we have we treat these shares as a kind of a bond because we have a fixed guarantee of just over 1 euro, and it's basically cheaper than paying 63 euro now for the share. So it's a question of what makes sense. But right now, the intention is only to take over the 7% of the shares beginning of next year.
Mm-hmm. And you said that regarding the longer-term margins of HOMAG above 10%, I mean, I guess it's probably fair to assume that you then have to take some maybe harder structural measures also to the maybe headcount and the structure of the company. Do you agree with that, or is that something that the family might oppose if they don't sell the stake to you?
Are you talking about the 10% return on sales target, correct? Just to be clear.
Yeah, I just think, when you look at HOMAG, I mean, at least to the outside, it doesn't seem that you have improved margins by cutting headcount much or improving the structures, and we know that this has been a problem at HOMAG before you bought it. So I assume that there are some efficiency measures you could do in the long term, but where the family might have a different view about.
So I've just speaking. The family has no chance if we would agree with anything. But by the way, they do agree with all what we do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the measures, when you're saying we don't take structural measures, we have taken. Not in terms of costing money, but we changed the whole organization of the company totally. And maybe when we have the investor day, we can give a view on that. But I think we already communicated that. So don't think that we have not done anything. And we're also shifting resources. For example, we don't hire people in Germany, but we hire in China and God knows where. So I think the company goes through a quite significant transformation process. If you talk to HOMAG people, they would really say that's the largest transformation they have seen. Yeah.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I know we have, on average, higher personnel expense compared to revenue, but if you look at the trend, we have actually been improving this currently at 35%, and we are planning to reach at least 31% as part of our restructuring program. So clearly, compared to some competitors, we're not there yet, but that's also is an indication of the opportunity that HOMAG has in terms of improving the overall profitability going forward, and I think that's what we're working on. We're actually very pleased with what we're doing, and we are very pleased with what the EBIT improvement has been achieved so far. It's just that this tremendous order intake, always you have to ask the question, do I focus on restructuring or do I focus meeting customer, orders? And you can't just send the customer away because you have to optimize everything. So that's the fine balance. But, the results indicate that we are ahead of plan. And I think the likelihood that we will reach our 2020 target before 2010 is higher than achieving it later. So I think that's a statement that Ralph has already made before.
So it's more the function of getting above 10 is more a function of obviously further operating leverage, but also maybe there's also streamlining the systems business, which I think was always a bit struggling in the past, right?
And you're right, but there are hundreds of measures, not just okay. These two or three. I just want to make clear that it's not just about cutting costs and reducing the options of the machines and the product streamline. There are hundreds and hundreds of measures which are being worked on, which involve the whole organization at every level. And because it's so complicated and it's so overwhelming that it's going to take some time and it's going to be hopefully bringing better results.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question comes from Baron Bertoni, Bellevue Asset Management. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I've got two. One concerns slide 5. Could you give us a little bit more color and views potentially on the future concerning the Americas and Germany, where orders are going down 30% and 21% respectively, just to have a granularity and a better understanding what could happen and what are the reasons? And the second question would be about Forex. With the dollar weakening substantially since the start of the year, could you give us an idea of what could be the impact for you?
Okay, Rafita speaking. For your first question, since I do this job, that's now some years, I always say don't look at a quarter. Yeah, a quarter doesn't say anything. Because when you look at Germany, minus 20%, that's just one petrol order or two revamps, which are seasonally not being in the market. So we don't have any worry about this minus 20. In America, it was expected because last year we had a very strong order intake, an unusually strong order intake in Mexico in particular, but also in the U.S. And we were in our plannings and our targets, we anticipated this decline to a level which is a more normal level because last year it was extraordinary high, 600 million order intake. Okay, and China, for example, was last year very low, with 260. The 400 million is more the normal level we have, because China is normally in this business in up to 800 to 1 billion per year. On the foreign exchange?
Yeah, on the foreign exchange, I mean, it's different issues. I mean, in general, we hedge all our transactions which are in foreign currency to exceed the 50,000 euros. So, you know, we are pretty much hedged in terms of when we lock in a project or we lock in an offer or a machine, you know, we're pretty much hedged with regards to currency risk. And if you look at, you know, our currency fluctuation and impact on sales is quite limited over the last quarters. The second issue is how we price. You know, if you're looking at the U.S. market, of course, you could argue that being based in Germany could be a disadvantage, but also, you know, some of our major competitors are based outside the U.S., and the way that the calculation is built, of course, includes all these different premises, including exchange rate. And as you know, these, for example, big paint shops are not built in Germany. They're built on site, which means involving also local workers and local resources, local content. So, again, with the hedge combination of what is important, I think we're pretty much certain in terms of dealing with this. But clearly, for every company which is not based in the U.S., any, you know, weakening of the dollar would not necessarily be good news. But on our case, I think we are pretty comfortable that we can manage that. And also reflects a bit our strategy of being pretty much diversified. That's why we have built a big presence in the U.S. We built a big presence in China, by the way. And so we're pretty much, I would say, global given the size of our business. So a combination of these three things plus the way that big projects are actually priced and calculated, this is the confidence that we are managing this FX risk pretty well.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question comes again from Peter Rotenacher, Baader Bank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, once again, gentlemen, regarding your current view on acquisitions and how to spend your liquidity. So can you comment, can we expect here some upcoming acquisitions? And what is your timetable for thinking about spending your liquidity? If you do not find major acquisition targets, what do you intend to do with the liquidity? Yeah.
Mr. Owen, I this question we have heard very often, and even if you would see something, we would not tell it now, but I can only tell you we are looking actively, and I think we have a professional team also working on that, and also my new colleague, Mr. Weihrauch, is spending time on that. We have also investigated some things, but there's nothing, I can say there's nothing on the plate which materializes tomorrow. And we are at the moment also very much focusing on our digital initiatives, which also needs investment. I think there's no time frame. I think when we have a deadline, we don't find anything, we do something else. But we will reconsider the course of next year, and then we will think about
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Jesko Kersic, Bankhaus Metzler. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, my first question is on CTS and restructuring. Maybe I missed it, but could you give me an indication what restructuring measures we still have to take into account for the second half of the year?
You don't miss that because I didn't say it clearly. I only said that we have two business left, one which is still an R&D business, also we are working on a development which is very promising, and the second one we are looking for partnerships to increase the sales force. So
if we have to decide in let's say the second half that one of these is let's say we have to change something, but you don't need to expect any big numbers here if we have to do something. A very, let's say, low digit, 1-3 million max. But at this moment we are optimistic that we can avoid that, but if not, then it will be in that range.
Okay, then the second one is on the filling. You mentioned a good business last year. Could you remind me on the underlying trend and what helped there?
Sorry, can we repeat that question?
The filling.
Yeah, I'm feeling maybe you recall in the newspapers there was some discussions about, and not only discussions, there was a change in the liquid for the air conditioning system in the car. Yeah, and there was a change to a more environmentally friendly one, and this has caused the OEMs to invest heavily in equipment which was able to handle this special liquid. And this was a kind of a boom in that business, which we benefited very much of, and this has now slowed down to normal level, but that we expected also for this year.
Okay, and the next one is on HOMAG, regarding the risk provisioning, which was more or less conservative in the last two quarters. Can we also assume that you continued with that policy in Q2 as well?
I mean, we don't see, really any major risks going forward. So, I mean, on HOMAG. So I think the answer will be yes.
Okay. And then two final general ones. The first one is on e-mobility and with regards to the recent more heatly discussions. Do you see any material change regarding e-mobility projects getting in the pipeline?
You mean the discussion we have in Germany about the diesel and move to e-mobility?
Yeah.
No. There's. I mean, we have a very good view from our OEMs what their plans are, what their programs are for e-vehicles or hybrid vehicles. A hybrid vehicle doesn't matter because it's a normal car, just with a small battery. But the pure e-vehicle cars, we have a very good picture about it. We have very interesting discussions about new concepts, more automated concepts for the final assembly line. Based on our experience, we are making in the U.S. with a Californian-based famous e-vehicle company. And so we see only opportunities, but no, let's say, no negative impacts out of that.
But in the project, there is no material change seen in the recent past.
No, only we have some more e-vehicle projects, particularly from newcomers in China, where we have to be also careful. There are many of them, and two of them will survive and can finance, but we have already got two orders of that, so that's good.
Okay, and then the final one is on the U.S., which was running on steam. Now the light vehicles get down. Could you share your view regarding the pipeline on maintenance or the pipeline in general, what you expect in the next quarters, not only the next two?
Yeah, I think we talk again about paint and final assembly because we have to differentiate in the...
Yeah, exactly,
So, we have a very good outlook in the U.S. We have a lot of things going on for larger brownfields one. I talk about U.S. and Mexico in one context, yeah, North America. There is still a lot of initiatives to modernize plants to make them more efficient. So, as I said, the last year's order intake at the first half was a very, very high peak. The normal business is not normal. A very good level is what we have at the moment, and we see that continuing.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. There are currently no further questions. I'm back over to our speakers for the closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mrs. Heinrich, and thank you all for your questions. It was a very good discussion today. We enjoyed it, as always. And for today, we would like to say bye-bye and wish you a pleasant afternoon or day, and speak to you soon again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This conference has been concluded. You may now disconnect.